Welcome to Virtual School Assembly. I'm your host, Tyler Christensen. I'm a productivity speaker, author, and classroom teacher. Here at Virtual School Assembly, I interview Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, Olympians, speakers, and educators who share messages of inspiration, education, and hope to better prepare you for an ever-changing and uncertain world. Thanks for joining us. Let's get started.
All right, good morning. Welcome back to Virtual School Assembly. Today, our guest is Rachel Breton. Rachel is a former professional soccer player for the NWSL, who played for Sky Blue FC. She also played professionally in Norway and the Toppserien League. I probably butchered that. Toppserien, I think that's right. Previous to her professional career, she played with the U.S. national team for 5 years and played collegiately at Villanova and Rutgers, where she studied psychology and English. Rachel is currently pursuing a career in sports psychology and works in coaching and training, along with marketing for several companies as a videographer and a writer. She's keeping busy. Rachel, welcome to the show. I'm going to hand you the virtual microphone now.
Thank you so much. And welcome, everybody, who is about to watch and join this lovely assembly. So, as introduced, I'm Rachel Breton. And yes, I've played soccer. I've played soccer since I was 4. And what I wanted to do was be like my dad. I was a kid and I was, you know, picking the dandelions and I saw my dad play and I was like, oh, he's doing really cool stuff. So I wanted to be more like my dad. And as that progressed, you know, I thought, why not give it a go? And I started out as a keeper. I looked around and I was like, it's not as fun for me. I jumped in and out of a whim and got a little bored and then decided to go play on the field as a forward. After that, I started to express myself and learn moves and kind of see what the game has to bring to me. The other day, and what I'm about to talk to you guys is about mental toughness. The other day, I was talking to my dad about certain things. And as a coach and trainer now, I'm constantly trying to find the levels of individuals of saying, all right, this is giving me, I see more. And with mental toughness, it's all about finding that growth and seeing that you can constantly give more and the limits are only within yourself. And that was tough for me to understand. And I was talking to him how I was trying to push this girl and show her how breathing is a huge thing, how your mindset prior and during anything, you know, on and off the field. And that's the one thing that I really love about soccer and sports. It doesn't only teach you what's going on in your game, but what you can bring out of your game. And that's what's helped me as a retired athlete, which is so sad to say, but it's helped me so much. So we were talking and he said something to me. He used to make us do these like boot camps. And in the boot camp, it would be like once a summer, I mean, from 9 to 1, and it was like our club team. And we were trying to get fit for high school. And I would dread it. I would be so stressed out. I couldn't even eat my eggs. My mom would make me eggs, and my dad would sing a song. And he'd go, boot camp, boot camp, boot you, you camp. And I would be so upset and like dread it. The drive, everything, panic. We'd get on the line. We did a lot of fitness. And for me, I'm a fitness person now. But I was not a fitness person. I hated it. I didn't want to run. I would do what I needed to do, but that was a problem. I just did what I needed to do. I always hit here. So that was the whole point, that every time I thought I was growing, I was just staying stagnant. And my talent was taking me very far. But those that would push were going like this every time. And I didn't learn that until college. And we were talking and he said something along the lines of, or my mom asked me, she's like, didn't that prep you for college and for professional? And I said, honestly, no, because I didn't allow myself, I didn't allow my brain cognitively to understand that it's you. It's always you. You know, it's Descartes said, a famous philosopher said, I think, therefore I am. And I thought, hey, if I just do this, I'll just do this. And that was happening. I gave what was required and I got what was required. I never got extra. And I only learned that in college. In college, I went to Villanova and then I went to Rutgers. I transferred. And I remember we had these fitness tests and I was fit, but mentally, I just like, when I started to breathe and think this can't go on, I'd stop. And I remember we did this one test and it was a full field, you know, a football field. It's called the Man U test. And I would run all the way down and you get time. So it's a couple of levels. I had to get a high level. I had to get level 26, which means for 26 minutes, I'm running. And that's already the mindset that I went with. For 26 minutes, I'm sprinting. And as an athlete, you know, if you think that way, you shut down. If you start your day as like, oh, it's Monday, here we go again, that's how your week's going to go. So again, it's a mindset. So I guess, you know, I ran the fitness test 6 times because at this level, at level 19, that's when I would stop. And within 30 seconds, I'd be fine. And for me, I realized, hey, you just have to do it. You just have to do it and commit. And it's more than your comfort zone. And I remember the last time that that was the first time that I understood what mental toughness was and why you needed to do it. And that's when what my dad did to me when I was 11 was a big thing. And I should have recognized it sooner, but everyone has their click. So it's okay if you don't get it right away. But in college, once I realized that, and I realized that that's uncontrollable, that was all on me. You know, I always thought, hey, you know, it's fine. It's okay. You don't have to be the fittest. You don't have to be the strongest, even though you have that competitive drive. But as I learned, you do, and you could, you know, and each level you just get better, you know, and ever since I had that, and Carol Dweck, she's a famous psychologist, talks about a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. I think in hindsight, I might've had a fixed mindset with potential of a growth mindset. And fixed mindset means that you want to get the A, you get in, you get out, you do what's required, done. And if you've read Grover's Relentless book, it's a cooler, a closer, and I forget the third one. But basically, these are the same levels. Hey, I'm just going to go through the motions, or I'm just going to do what's required. Growth mindset wants to constantly push, constantly get better. I recognized when I was doing this other fitness test called Beep Test that they would give us numbers. So if I just had to get, if I had to beat 9.4, I would get 9.5. I wouldn't go to 10. Because in my head, I'm like, well, I thought I was beating the system. I was like, well, because next year, guess what? I'll get 9.6 and 9.7, and those are controllables. And I realized that that's just wrong. It's just no. And I learned that when I was playing pro too, like exceed, go beyond, because then you push yourself. And that new norm, that 9, will never reach. That'll just be a warm-up for you. You'll just keep getting better and better. And I learned that off the field too. You know, hey, it's your breathing, right? If you're getting anxiety, what are you thinking about? What's really the core? What's really the problem? Is it you? Is it what's going around? Are you intrinsically motivated? Are you extrinsically motivated? What's going to really make you tick? And what do you value? For me, what I was doing was not reaching what I valued. I valued being the best, but I wasn't doing what was required to be the best. So I had to learn that the hard way. So mental toughness for me, and what I want people to take out of this, it's like, what, you know, how is your mental furniture? You know, can you figure out, you know, what matters to you, and will you fight to get there? Because essentially it is your control. And there's a lot of people that, you know, there's a famous thing from Will Smith that says, you know, there's going to be two things. If I'm on a treadmill, we're on a treadmill, it's either I'm going to die, or you're going to get off the treadmill first. And that mindset is like so appropriate, because it's true. If you go in, and again, I think therefore I am, if you go in and you say that you're going to go through this and it's going to take different levels. And again, you have to have certain expectations. Like, I can't right now like have a 7-minute mile and then tomorrow be like, I will get a 6-minute mile. You got to work for it. You got to, you know, you have to find these reasons, and you have to find these things to compare. And that's why you progress. That's why, you know, I wear my heart rate monitor, because, you know, you can find, yes, you can find certain things that are going to help you balance. I mean, I'm a numbers girl. This helps. I don't think that every stat matters, but if you're trying to see growth and you're trying to see certain things, it's important to see where you came from and where you are. And each day you do have the potential to grow. You just have to allow it. So my thing to you to close up is, you know, we are who we choose to be. And that's something that I really hope that you can take with you, and to constantly resort your mental furniture. Just because you are this way today does not mean that you have to be that way in 5 minutes.
Awesome. What a cool message, Rachel. I love this idea of mental toughness, and I want to dig into different aspects of it. You really covered kind of the psychology behind mental toughness and going over fixed versus growth mindset. When it comes to mental toughness, though, that's one side is the growth side, right? The other side that we haven't talked about is resilience. What happens when things go wrong? What happens when you have setbacks? And certainly in your own career as a soccer player, both amateur and professionally, I'm sure you had setbacks. I want to know, what are some of the things that went wrong in your career, and how did you deal with those situations?
Great question. So in the career, it's as anything is, you have to deal with politics, right? So sometimes not the best one gets the contract, not the best one gets the start, not the best one gets the playing time that's deserved. So it's understanding your worth. And that's something that I had to go through too. Like I came from a family that was, if you work hard, you'll get what you get. You'll succeed. If you work hard and you're the smartest, you're the fittest, you're whatever, you're the most talented, you'll reach your goals, you'll reach your success. And essentially, I think I looked as, you know, it's a picture that we paint that haunts us. Like, we see that it's going to be this way, it's going to be this way. And I'm sure you and a lot of others have seen, like, we only see this, but no one sees this. You get to the same destination, but there are some setbacks. And for me, when I was playing, you know, there were a lot of times where I felt that I deserved better. There were a lot of times that I felt that I just deserved better based off of performance, based off of everything. And in those things, I do think that there were some times that I slipped with attitude, and it's human, you know, and that's the one thing that I've learned getting older is that, you know, trite, but love yourself and appreciate your growth and see how far you've come. And there's a lot of things that you can't control. I cannot control if I'm going to play. I can't. But I can control my attitude and effort always. So if I'm truly an athlete, if I'm truly a professional, that means that I have to understand that I'm not going to get my way every time. It's not going to be perfect. And if I'm truly a teammate, that means that, yes, I'm a competitor, but I want you to do well too. Because if you do well, I do well. And how can I make my starting lineup work even though I'm not working? And even though if I get 5 minutes, like that's like, and that's a tough thing because you want more. Like if you're an athlete, great. Like, who wants to sit behind LeBron? Yes, you're with LeBron, but like, you want to play. You are amongst that. Like, why not? Why not? You know? And then you have, you know, other people, critics, family. Hey, you know, you deserve better. And I always like, I appreciated that banter, but I don't think it wasn't helpful because it kind of like, you know, there's the id, the super ego and the ego, and that hits your ego so much. You're like, oh, like, you're right. Like, maybe I should do this. And then you start to act a certain way, which sometimes I did. You know, there were some practices that I just freaked out. I was like, this is BS. Right. But it's just, I think those were times where I had to be humbled and say, like, look, what do you, as I said in the beginning, what do you value? And what's your why? And what are your successes? Is it truly to just, you know, be this star, or is it to really, you know, play the game that you love? And every time it was to play the game that I love. So it was just rewiring how I thought and accepting circumstances, which happens in life all the time, you know?
Right. Now, as a soccer player, one of the challenges that you have is you want to do your best, but you also want to be better than others so you have more opportunities for growth. At the same time, you're part of a team and the team matters, you know, ultimately. The success of the team is more valuable than the success of the individuals. And that's a hard thing to balance, whether you're in high school and trying to make the team or at the professional level. The community is really important, but balancing your individual goals with the community goals is a tricky thing. Can you talk just a little bit about the role of community in your own personal development? Like, who were the people who supported you the most? And maybe even now, where are you drawing for strength? What kind of community are you reaching out to?
Yeah, I think community is huge. And I think in anywhere you go, like I see now a trend that are happening with a lot of companies off the field that they refer to each other as team. Because essentially it's a team. If you're working with someone and you're going for the same goal, it's a team, it's teamwork. And I do think that that's the one thing that I do miss, especially now during quarantine, having a team and retirement. But from 2013 to 2017, I did love, we've had our ups and downs with Sky Blue, but I loved a lot of the individuals that I worked with. And it's finding that niche, it's finding that like-minded people. It's, you know, like, I was just on the phone with one of my old teammates, Kelly, and I remember one time I had a bad practice, and it's right there. She wrote me a note, and it was like, she just left it on the table, and I read it, and it was like, you know, it's that saying where it's like, when you forget the words, your friends sing it back to you. Like that, having a community with like-minded people and people that will push you too. Like, don't get me wrong. She would always say, hey, we can do better. Like today we'll do better. And that's good. Like it's someone that's going to keep you humble and people that are going to keep you humble, but also, you know, make you feel comfortable, which I think, you know, a community, that's what you really need. And to answer, I mean, we still, like, now I'm retired, but I still keep in contact with a lot of individuals that are still playing. And a lot of them are like my closest friends, you know, like best friends. I have my lifelong friends. And then, like, I don't know, there's just something at a different level when you go through what we went through that you can't let that go. So it's constant communication, being invested, right? Like I still watch their games. Like I'm still involved in the sport, even though I'm not playing, I still play, you know, pick up with a lot of these players. And I still train them and stuff. So it's still being, you know, there and bringing that to my community, meaning like with these girls that I coach and train, or the guys that I coach and train, it's just letting them know, like, hey, this is what we did. And this is what they're doing now. Like this test that I'm asking you to do, this person just did. And I just did too. Like a lot of the times that we do fitness tests and stuff, I do it too. And I put my scores up. And it's just like attitude reflects leadership. So it's like, it's kind of creating that kind of community where, again, like, you know, it's like family, like it's like not family tradition, but you're passing on these legacies and these attitudes to help build a better environment. Like, hey, I've learned this. These are my mistakes, or these are things that have been instilled in my soul and in my practice. I want to give it back to you so you could do the same and be a domino effect.
Cool. Now, getting back to mental toughness a little bit, there are a few parts of mental toughness that are really important. Two of those things would be consistency and continued growth. And I've been snooping in your background here, and I see a few things that I love as a teacher. So I've been seeing piles of books, and I'm seeing a calendar that you're actively using. Can you talk a little bit about the role in your life, even now, of routine and of learning, of lifelong learning?
Great questions. And so... I don't know if you know if this, have you heard of the Enneagram test? Okay. Uh-huh. Enneagram test. It's just another personality test, but I'm a type 7. If anyone who's curious, just Enneagram, just Google type 7. We are scattered. We are energetic. We want to do a whole bunch of things. I remember I read something that was so funny. It was like by 8 a.m., a type 7 would have traveled to Rome, discovered America, read 2 books and like all this stuff. And I'm like, that's 100% me. And in this quarantine, what I've realized and what it has forced me is that I do need routine. And I thought I never did. And I thought that, I thought I never had a routine, but essentially I have like these like columns and pillars. And what I've also learned is I need some flexibility. So every day has to be a little bit different. You know, for example, like we don't talk every day, but cool, a new friend, a new connection, that gets me going. But did I still do what I needed to do? Yes, I still ran. I still did a fitness test, you know, like I still did some things. So routine is essential because it keeps a person balanced. And if we're talking about mental toughness and if we're talking about mental health, you need that. Like they always say, like, take 1 hour a day to do something that you love, because it'll reset your day and it also just resets who you are and kind of brings you, like keeps you present. So I didn't really realize that. And especially during this time, I've been, you know, I have a time to work out. I definitely need to do this. I definitely need to read. I definitely do a little bit of meditation, which I'm not that great at, but I'm trying. Mm-hmm. I do a little bit of language learning, and those things help me so much because if I don't, I do feel a little bit anxious and I don't feel productive, and understanding myself is, and that's the biggest thing about mental toughness as well. It's just knowing yourself, like what do you normally do and what do you normally need? So routine, need it. Consistency, it just goes to, like, obviously if I run on a Monday and then I run on a Friday, I can't It's not going to give me the right kind of serotonin or dopamine. It's not going to fit into my routine. And I'm not going to see much growth. It's like if you want to keep on a diet and you say, or I'm going to lose 5 pounds this month, and you diet every other week or something, that's not consistent. So you can't really say, oh, it didn't work out. You know, you have to be consistent. And the same thing with, like, you know, I keep talking about fitness and stuff, but those are prime examples. Like, if you want to lift, that's why you kind of have to write things down and see your growth. If you want to, like, my challenge this year was read 52 books in the year. You have to keep track. Can't be like, oh, shoot, I got to catch up. It's like, hey, keep yourself accountable, right? Hey, I'm going to read a book a week. No problem. You know? And I think that those things, like, again, controllables. And I think a lot of people get anxiety because they don't have much control. And it's true. We have less control than we think, but the things that you can control, really try, you know, like, is it your health? Is it your sleeping pattern? Is it who you keep in your community? Is it, you know, your routines? These are consistencies that you have no problem taking care of. And it does help. You feel like a way better, more productive person.
Yeah, you're totally speaking my language. It's funny because even the examples you're using here, this morning I ran 6 miles and then spent 45 minutes in the gym, and I'm keeping notes of everything because I'm seeing that I want to see that progress. Yeah. I lost 100 pounds last year, and I want to keep that physical fitness as a major part
for
of my
you.
Yeah, well, I have a lot.
Yeah.
But it's keeping
awesome.
Track.
Yes.
And even with the books, I mean, I had similar goals this year. I read 50 books in January, so I knocked that out early. But now I'm looking for 200 books in 2020. I want to do 202 books. And you have to keep track, you know? You have to keep notes of that. So that's so important. Rachel, so appreciate your time today. It's been cool to hear about mental toughness, but also to learn a little bit about you and how you're keeping busy. I know that you're fairly active on Instagram. If kids want to connect with you, is that the best platform, or where should they go online to find you?
Hit me up on Instagram, Rachel Brett.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you so, so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Virtual School Assembly. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever else you listen to virtual assemblies. And leave us a rating and review so we know what you learned and took away from this virtual assembly. Videos and show notes are found at virtualschoolassembly.com. And if you're a school leader and you're looking for a speaker for virtual or traditional in-school assemblies, or if you're looking for some teacher training, I'd love to connect with you to see how I can help. You can check out my website at tylerchristensen.com. Thanks. You are super duper. Let's go out and make the world a better place. Bye-bye.